Amen, amen. All right, get your Bibles. Go to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8 this evening. I believe we'll get right in the scripture. We got to sing and shout a while, come to the altar and pray this morning. And tonight, if the Lord will help us, we'll give us a little bit of preaching and a little thought from the Word of God. And we've not finished the section here, verses 27 through 30. But I am going to move on tonight. I felt led this afternoon. We'll just move on. And I'll come back and finish that up on some other time as the Lord leads. And but this afternoon felt like the Lord began to burden me about this thought He had given me a couple weeks ago for this next section. And I want to try to preach this to us tonight and maybe send a warning out and as well as try to encourage us in our walk with God to be faithful. We've heard a lot about the Lord's faithfulness in these days. And sometimes, now, you just have to do with this. You'll have to admit it. And I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but sometimes we can be running so well for the Lord and so spiritual and acting like we're saved. Just like that, we've got ourselves sideways. And there's things coming out of us that just a few verses before we'd have never said. And I think there's an illustration of that here. You say, oh, that ain't me. Well, you're greater than even Peter was. Amen. But we want to look at it tonight and try to just make some practical application here in just a moment. Stand with me if you're willing and able to do so. We're going to read just three or four verses again for this next section as we're making our way through the gospel according to Mark. Ain't it been a good study? All eight chapters. Now we're almost done with chapter number 8. And I have just thoroughly enjoyed laying with the Lord throughout this study and spending time with the Lord, letting Him develop some thoughts in our heart to deliver to you. I trust that they've been a blessing and help and that tonight will be no different. The Bible said in verse number 31, and He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Somebody say amen right there. I'm glad He taught that. I'm glad He taught that. The Bible said, and He spake that saying openly. And Peter took Him, notice this, and began to rebuke Him. Ain't that amazing? Amen. Who would dare rebuke the Creator of this earth? Who would dare be that brass and that super duper spiritual as to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ? But that's what the Bible said that Peter did. But when he had turned, this is Christ now, when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You can be seated tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we understand tonight that in ourself dwelleth no good thing. Lord, we've not merited any thing from your hand. We don't deserve your help. We don't deserve your mercy and your grace. We don't deserve a manifestation of your presence and, Lord, your power and your voice tonight. But, Lord, if we're being honest, we sure do need it and we desire it tonight. And though we don't deserve it, Lord, it is our deepest need and desire this evening, Lord, just to hear from our God, from your word this evening. So I pray you take us beyond ourselves. Help us, Lord, to communicate and deliver these thoughts that you've laid upon our heart tonight. And Lord, I pray this evening it would find a lodging place in every heart and in every life. Help us, Lord, to grasp the application that will be made tonight. Lord, may we leave here warned. And Lord, may we leave here challenged, ready to serve you. And Lord, to be vigilant and sober, knowing that our adversary, the devil, is just looking for an opportunity, Lord, to gain access into our life. And Lord, we'll thank you for how that you keep him off of us and how you teach us to live tonight. Lord, there's some here tonight that need saving. Lord, their lives, Lord, are under the dominion and the control and the power of the God of this world. They are children of disobedience and rebellion and children of sin and worldlings and, Lord, those of a carnal heart. God, I pray this evening in the Spirit of God, Lord, we go by their way and show them, Lord, what awful shape they're in. If they stood before God tonight, they'd be without excuse and, Lord, would be found guilty and worthy of the eternal damnation of God. But, Lord, I pray tonight they would also see Jesus as a good Savior. As was said, Lord, this morning, that they would draw nigh by faith and repentance and come to Him. Lord, if You'd save them tonight, Lord, do that work of redemption in their life. Lord, they'd leave happy and we'd leave rejoicing over what great and good things the Lord has done. Have Thy will and way, we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We're now continuing here in this story as the Lord is leading the disciples, no doubt at this time, away from Caesarea Philippi. And as they make their way out of this time where the Lord has questioned them before, He has questioned them before concerning how men have thought of the Lord Jesus, who they were saying that Jesus was, and then leading them to the good question, but whom say ye that I am? The Lord has led them through that series of questions to the profession of Peter and his great confession, Thou art the Christ. And upon that statement, we learn that at the Lord blessed Peter and He blessed the church and gave them a wonderful promise. Now He's beginning to lead them down a road. He's leaving the region of Galilee. He will make His way into a Judean ministry and will serve around Judea and make some appearances in Jerusalem before ultimately about 6 months' time between where we're at in this text and the end of the Lord's life, where He is going to be betrayed into the hands of wicked men, delivered to the Gentiles, and then be slain upon an old rugged cross. And so the Bible says here in verse number 31, and it began to teach them several things that I would draw your attention to tonight to get to our thought here in just a moment. In fact, we'll get to the thought here in just a second. But in this text, as they're making their journey, the Bible gives us the fact that there is a strategic instruction, we'll call it tonight, as He began to teach them. And the Lord had taught them many things. He had gave them a lot of instruction about being a disciple and about faith and lessons about prayer and lessons about fasting and lessons about how to preach and lessons concerning the kingdom of God. He had taught them many things. But here there's a very strategic purpose in teaching them and instructing them. And it is in the matter of the gospel message that we preach. He began to teach them. The Bible said that the Son of Man must suffer many things. He's going to deal with them and instruct them along this road, strategic instruction, realizing that He is literally months away from giving His life at Calvary. He is months away from Judas Iscariot betraying Him, Him being put upon a mock trial and suffering the lies of men and the scorn of men and the rejection of men. He is literally months away from standing before Pilate and then before Herod and then before Pilate again. He's months away from being taken to Gabbatha and His back being bared and striped with that whip and made bare and plowed through and beaten by the hands and whips of men. He's literally months away from having an old rugged cross thrust upon His back and suffering as He walks down the Via Dolorosa and makes His way outside of Jerusalem up Golgotha's Hill. He's literally months away from stretching out His arms upon that cross and allowing them to drive nails into his hands and into his feet. He understands he's months away from us suffering these many things, being lifted between heaven and earth upon a cross and slammed into the ground, disjointing every joint of his body. He is literally, my friend, months away. He can now see it just barely around the next bend and the next curve that he is going to suffer greatly upon the cross, that he is going to thirst, that he's going to be made naked and humiliated and embarrassed in front of the eyes of wicked men, that literally all the fowls and demons of hell are going to gather around him and mock him and scorn him and howl upon his soul as wild beasts and wild animals and wild dogs. They would gnaw upon his very spirit. We understand that he's months away from suffering many things, including the Father's condemnation of our sin being laid upon the Son of God in that darkened hour of Calvary. He's just a short time away from the spear of the Roman soldier being thrust into his side and blood and water gushing out. He's months away from laying down his life a ransom for our sin. He's months away from being buried and laid in a tomb. But my friend, in this strategic instruction, the Lord said, it will not end with me suffering these many things, but and the Son of Man must also after 3 days rise again. And so the Lord is teaching them on the road of that is to come, that involves redemption's plan and the message of the gospel that saves the world even tonight. It is that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture. And Christ, my friend, was killed and slain and buried in a tomb, but thank God he rose again. And that is the hope of salvation. That is the hope and the promise that we have, that the Lord is able to deliver men from their sin. And so the Lord, understanding all of this is in view, his earthly life and ministry is going to draw to a close. There is no doubt that strategically he is giving this instruction and he might prepare them for what is to come. Brother Mark, he knows he's going to leave them behind. He'll deal with that in days to come as Calvary gets ever closer. And it's not that he hadn't told about his death and his resurrection. Already he's done that in veiled ways, but now he does it very openly. Verse number 32 said, now he does it very clearly, and he's spelling it out, what the will and the plan of God is, what they need to know about what God is doing in him and what God has in mind and in store even for his disciples. And so he's given strategic instruction. And thank God you and I have been instructed in that as well. Strategic instruction, notice with me, there he is. I see number 2, satanic instrument. A satanic instrument. In the middle of all the Lord is teaching, can you imagine? Can you imagine hearing the Son of God declare to you what the gospel is? Can you imagine the Son of God teaching you what he has come to do? Can you imagine him beginning to tell you all that he's going to endure, and he might pay for your sin, that this moment of suffering, and yet a short time later, a time of victory yet, and all of these things. Can you imagine being in the presence of the Lord as Jesus himself is expounding and instructing you about the gospel of the Lord Jesus? And in the midst of the Savior speaking, we find that the Bible said Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And now you say, preacher, you say there's a satanic instrument. And there is. And we know that because the Lord did not allow Peter to say very much. Amen. The Lord stopped him short and I began to rebuke him back. And here's what the Lord said. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now the Lord is not saying that Peter is the devil, nor is the Lord teaching here from this story that this redeemed one, this ransomed one, this one in the family of God has been possessed by the devil. We understand that, my friend, no child of God could ever be possessed of the devil. It doesn't matter what they say in Nashville and in other parts of our country. My friend, the redeemed of the Lord, they have been set free. Amen. We've been delivered from the god of this world. And we may, my friend, be in a warfare against him. But you cannot use this text to reveal and show that Peter has been possessed of the devil. What is going on here is Peter is under a satanic influence whereby, because, and Peter's, and I'll deal with it in a moment, but a failure that Peter is going through in this moment, Satan found an advantage in Peter's words and in Peter's response to the instruction that Christ was given. I'll show you why in just a moment. But he's under a satanic influence and has become an instrument of the devil. We understand that the Lord encountered the devil in many times in his life. In fact, we know that upon his baptism, he was led, the Lord that is, was led into the wilderness for the purpose of being tempted of the devil. And the devil waited after 40 days and 40 nights of the Lord fasting, not eating and not drinking, in an hour in which his human body would have been in a place of weakness. And so the devil came and he gave him the three temptations. It's not my goal to preach on all that tonight. What I am interested in is that the Lord overcame him in the wilderness in the hour of his temptation under the power and the influence of the Spirit of God, and using the authority of Scripture, our Savior overcame the temptation of the devil. And so great was the victory in the wilderness that the Bible said, Brother Tim, that the devil departed from him. A devil left him. He realized there's no use in fighting him anymore today. He's overcame everything that I've thrown at him. But the Bible did say that the devil in departing, he was simply departing, not for good, but was waiting for a more convenient season. He would be, my friend, throughout the days of the life of our Lord Jesus, trying to find a way to offend the Lord, trying to find a way to snare the Lord, trying to find a way to discourage the Lord. And we understand that, my friend, the Lord lived his life in great victory, and the devil never, amen, conquered the Lord in his earthly life. Amen. Our Savior was sinless. Our Savior was faithful. Our Savior, my friend, fulfilled the days of his life always and only doing those things that please the Father. And yet in this text we find that the devil found another season. He found another opportunity. He found an instrument in this man by the name of Peter whereby he might try to tempt the Lord, and he might, my friend, be used of the devil to, my friend, do something against the will of God. And so I see a satanic instrument. Then in the end of verse number 33, I see a sovereign entreaty. For the Lord looks, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. And so he looks beyond Peter, Brother Larry, looks beyond Peter, and he gives a rebuke to the devil. But then he's going to entreat Peter because Peter has some things going on in his own life, and here's what he said. He said, Peter, here is how the devil has found a foothold in your life to use you for his own plan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. You see, there is a sovereign entreaty. The Lord is calling Peter. He's calling him out for his weakness. He's calling him out for his failure. failure for the things that he desires and the things that he savors. And the indictment and the indictment and this entreaty against Peter is that you're more interested in earthly things. You're more interested in your own welfare and your own well-being and your own success. You're interested more in your own accomplishments and what you're going to attain to than you are the will of God being accomplished and being performed. You see Peter in this moment of time. Peter is being selfish. Peter is being selfish. Peter is being prideful. And Peter is being extremely fleshly. And it is this kind of person that Satan seeks to use tonight to try, my friend, to disrupt the will of God. Friend, you got to understand tonight that in this text, there's a lot of things that are going on. There are a lot of things that are at play tonight. And in the midst of a strategic and spiritual instruction, there is a man who is living in fleshly means. There is a man that is full of pride. Here is a saint of God and is being governed by his own selfish desire. I'll not have it that way, Lord. Let it not be. Say it ain't so, Lord. This will never happen to you. Why would Peter say such a thing? It's not because that he doubted it was going to happen, but Peter wants the kingdom to come. He wants God's kingdom to come. He wants a throne in the kingdom. He wants success in the kingdom. He, my friend, wants to attain to an earthly kingdom. And because he was living selfishly and living pridefully and living fleshly, the Bible teaches you and I that Satan found an instrument that he could use against the Son of God. I want to preach on this thought tonight with that in mind. Don't let Satan use you. Don't let Satan use you. You say, preacher, is it possible? Well, the Bible said that the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And my friend, he wants to devour your life. But if you mark it down before he devours you, he'd love to use you in his own plan. We preach to you young people, and we preach to us older people as well. And God has a plan for our life. And God has a will in which he wants us to live our life. And God wants to use us. But I want to warn you tonight. I want to warn you tonight. The devil would love nothing more than to use your life in his own plan tonight. Don't let the devil use you. I thought about this. I thought about this, that Peter is a saved and a sincere man, and yet the Lord had to rebuke the devil that was using Peter's life in this moment of time. I thought about it this way, Brother Joe, that Peter had been given redemption but was used to the devil. That Peter had been given great revelation, and yet he was still in this moment of time used to the devil. You see, it ain't but just a few verses ago that the Lord said, "Whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am?" It was Peter that answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. And in that moment of time, Peter said it right. In that moment of time, what a revelation that had been given to Peter. He had been given revelation. In fact, so great we emphasize this morning, that the Lord said, "Thou art blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, that flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, my Father which is in heaven." Here's a man that has been given redemption, and a man that has been given great revelation. He understands spiritual truths that the other men do not understand and have not embraced, and yet the devil used his life. I think about about this, and Peter had been given renown. He is, my friend, one of the 12, and not just one of the 12. He is known as one of the inner circle in the Lord's, the members of His church. He's been given renown. He stands out. When you talk about the disciples of the Lord Jesus, the first ones that come to mind is Peter, James, and John. You see, he's been given renown. He's a man that has power and authority to do miracles and to preach the gospel and see people saved. He's been given renown. He knows that, my friend, spiritual things that nobody else knows that, and is so active in the life and the ministry of the Lord that, my friend, they know him all over Galilee. He is a man that has been given renown in the ministry of Christ. And yet, Brother Jerry, this same man given renown has a moment of time where the devil is able to come in and attach himself in this moment of weakness, in this moment of selfishness, in this moment of pride, in this moment of fleshly ambition. And Brother Jack, the devil is able to use a man given renown. You say this, Peter had been given relationship. He's of that inner circle. He knows what it is to sit and eat at the table with the Lord. He knows what it is to walk with Him in the way. He knows what it is to go places with the Lord that others knew nothing about. He had been given a relationship and a very special relationship. But in spite of all of this, he was still used of Satan. What are you saying tonight, preacher? I'm sad. Hey man, it doesn't matter that you're saved tonight. Hey man, it doesn't matter than whatever renown you think you have, whatever example you think you are that you're trying to be. It doesn't matter tonight what revelation you can give, what doctrines you can recite, what books you have read. It doesn't matter, my friend, even how big or great you think or others think that your relationship with Christ really is. Hey man, the devil is just waiting on you, my friend, to open up the door. He's waiting on an opportunity to attach himself to your life and to use you to do great destruction to the work of God. I don't want to be used of the devil. I was the devil's tool, amen, for too many days before I got saved. I don't want to be the devil's satanic instrument that he can use to do some things I'll point out tonight. Amen. Don't let the devil use you. Don't let him use you. Amen. Stay. Amen. Stay in that confession, thou art the Christ. Amen. Live your life in your redemption. Live your life by the revelations that he's given you. Live your life in the renown that he gives you and using your life for the Lord's glory. Live your life, amen, as close as you can in relationship to the Lord. But never take your eye off the enemy. Amen. Don't ever think you're too big. Don't ever think you're too safe. Don't ever think, my friend, you're so spiritual. And if you don't drop your guard, the devil can't find use of your life. Amen. This is good preaching tonight. I wonder tonight how many days that we've been saved and we've been sincere. And I believe Peter, in all the failures he has, I think there is a measure of sincerity, but he forgot there's an enemy out there that would love to come in. Use him, and how the devil used him so great. Can I give you three things quickly out of the text? I'll be done just in a moment. Here's what I want to say. Number one, don't let the devil use you to be a distraction. Amen. The Bible said in opening of these verses we have for our text tonight, and he and Jesus began to teach them. That is, he has his disciples to himself. The crowds don't seem and the multitudes don't seem to be around. It is a time in which the Son of God begins to engage them in spiritual instruction. He's giving them preparations. He's trying to prepare them for what is coming down the road. He's trying to get some things in them that they are going to need in days that are to come. Are you listening today? The Savior is speaking. The Savior has a word. The Word is speaking the Word. And it's important what He has to say. And the Bible said that as He was speaking this, He was doing it openly. That is, Jesse, it was for all of those that were numbered among His disciples. There's something that they need to hear. There's something personal that He has for them to get. And right in the midst of the Lord speaking, Peter raises his hand. Peter gives a Lord, and he begins to pull the Savior aside. He took Him, the Bible said, which means that he stopped the Savior from speaking. He interrupted the Lord and the message He was giving, and He pulled the Lord aside from the others, and the Bible said He began to rebuke Him. I want to say, Peter, what are you thinking, man? A Savior's got a word. A Savior's giving out truth. A Savior is giving the will of God to these servants of the Lord, and now you're going to let the devil get in you and the devil jump on you, and the devil use your life to be a distraction to the people of God being able to get a word they need to sustain them. Amen. Let me tell you tonight, church, you listen, this ain't deep, it's very practical, I understand. But the devil would love to do nothing more with your life than to use you to be a distraction. God can be working and moving in somebody's life. You interject your thoughts and your opinions and all your vast knowledge you think you have. And I understand there's a purpose and a place in which we're to exhort one another, but you better make sure it ain't the devil using you to distract somebody away from the will of God. Amen. Just cause you got some kind of knowledge or some kind of desire. Amen. Somebody help me preach now. Amen. Just cause you think you know how it ought to be, don't mean you ought to open your big mouth and let the devil use you to distract what he's doing in somebody else's life. Amen. You don't know as much as you think you know. Amen. Boy, we got built up this morning. Let me just knock us back down to size, Brother Jack. Amen. We don't know all there is to know about everything. Amen. I don't want the devil to use my life to be a distraction over what he's doing in somebody else's life. We're living in the day of the social media generation. If you ain't careful, you can put things on social media the devil will use to distract somebody else. You say, but what I said's right. We're not talking about is it right or wrong. We're talking about who's using you to do it. Somebody help me now. Don't let the devil use you to become a distraction. Number two, amen. I told y'all I'd be quick. Amen. Let me say number two, don't let the devil use you to be a discouragement. Amen. It's very interesting when the Bible said, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. That is, he began to discourage. In fact, look back in Matthew, if you will. This will serve us well to look at the complementary text here. At Matthew's record about this in Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew 16, look with me in verse number 22. The Bible said, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Here's what Peter was saying. Now, Mark didn't record this, but here's what Matthew recorded. Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. You know what the Lord has just said? It is the will of God that I suffer many things. It's the will of God that I be betrayed. It's the will of God that my life be taken. It's the will of God I be buried and rise again the third day. And Peter, when he is rebuking the Lord and being used of the devil found an occasion in Peter whereby he could discourage even the Lord Jesus Christ. What the Lord has just told them was time for the disciples. It should have been when the disciples come along the Lord and say, okay, Lord, if you got to go through all that, what we want you to know is we support you and we're behind you and we want to do all we can to hold your hands up. We may not understand all the will of God. We may not understand everything that is going on in your life. But Lord, we want to be an encouragement and a blessing. What can we do to help you face what is coming down the road? But that ain't what Peter did. Peter said, Lord, let it be it far from thee. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Listen to the words of the Lord. Thou art an offense unto me. In other words, Brother Mark, the Lord is saying, Peter, I need encouragement. I've just told you what I'm getting ready to go through. And if the Son of Man has ever needed his disciples and his children and the ones that he loves and say that love him back, if he's ever needed them in this hour, put their arm around him and say, Lord, we're with you even unto the end. It's in this hour. But Peter got used of the devil to be a discouragement. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm not claiming to be a standard bearer of this. But you know what I try to live my life being? An encouragement. I don't ever want to be a discouragement to people. Now listen, they some stupid people who do stupid things. And they come talking about how bad their world is. And I'll be honest, there's days, Brother Jack, I look at them. I ain't ever done it physically, but on the inside I'm going, whack, whack, whack. It's what you get, dummy. Amen. A lot of times there's some things I have to say as a pastor that I know maybe comes across discouraging. I don't mean it discouraging. Because in my soul, I want to be an encouragement. When somebody's living their life in the will of God, I'm not talking about this fickle up and down and blowing with the wind and unstable way of living. Amen. I ain't got time for that. The longer I'm saved in the ministry, y'all pray for me. I don't want to be used to the devil even saying this tonight, but the longer I deal with people like that, the more frustrated I get in my mind. But if you got a desire to live your life in the will of God, I don't want the devil to use my life to be a discouragement to you. Amen. There are people tonight that they're just doing the best they can to make it in the will of God, and whatever they're going through, they're just trying to fulfill the will of God. They want to be faithful. And then we Baptists, we let the devil get in our mind and get in our actions and get in our words. If we ain't careful, we'll come by and we'll become an offense to somebody who's just trying to do the best they can to live in the will of God. I don't ever want to be used by the devil to be a discouragement. Being kind ain't ever cost nobody anything. Amen. Putting your arm around somebody and say, hey, I love you. And even if they ain't got it all together, amen, put your arm around and say, love you, and I'm praying for you. That ain't ever cost nobody anything. Well, I tell you right now, I'm going to make my stand. I'm going to prove how straight and spiritual I am. You better be careful. Devil use you to discourage somebody. You don't know what the Lord may do in their life later on down the road. Don't let the devil use you to be a discouragement. Amen. Don't let the devil use you to be a distraction. Number three, and I'm done, all God's people said. Amen. Don't let the devil use you. I'm going to use a word you don't You probably never have used this. You've heard it used in the last, well, since January 6th, you've heard it used a lot on the news. If you paid attention, you heard them use it and you didn't even know what it meant. But don't let the devil use you to be a dissonant. Say, what do you mean? I was trying to find a word. I knew what I wanted to say, but I couldn't find me a word for my outline until I come across this. I had some others and I didn't think they fit, but this one fits fine. Webster said a dissonant is one who is a discordant, unharmonious, or disagreeing. You ever met somebody, they were so disagreeable about everything? If you said the sky's blue, they's going to argue with you about, well, it ain't really blue, it's Carolina blue. They'll debate and they'll argue about everything. Amen. You understand, God ain't called us to live a life of debate. I got to preach this out, and I'm just going to talk it out to you as your pastor. Don't let the devil use you to sow discord. So I just don't agree with this or that, and I don't like this or that, and we'll get in line. There's a lot of things around here. All of us could file a complaint and it would be a stack that tall, wouldn't it, Brother Tim? Things we wish wasn't or was. Amen. You know what I thought about when I read this? The Bible said, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples. The implication, what is being implied there, is that what Peter said found a lodging place in the disciples' heart, and he was actually sowing discord. It was one thing that he didn't agree with what the Lord was saying, but the devil used him to sow them very same seeds in the hearts of the other disciples. I want everybody to look up here. Be careful about saying what you don't like around the house of God. The devil will use you to be a dissonant and to sow discord. I've said this before. And we preachers, we're the worst. And God knows I've tried to get better about it through the years. Amen. Every time I think, I have arrived, Brother Mike, I've got victory over. I'll fall back into it. But there's things I know about people I should have never known about people. Because the devil used somebody to sow discord in my heart. And I can't forget them things I've been told. And I should never had known the things that I was told. But the devil used somebody to sow discord and be a dissonant. Amen. To be disagreeable. Say, well, you know what she's told's right and all this. And I understand there's a time to stand. There's a time to call stuff out. I understand that. Amen. But you better be real careful what you say about somebody else. So I just think it's my place and that's my best friend. And so I got to talk to somebody. You better be careful. It may be the devil behind you putting them thoughts in your ear. Amen. Getting you to sow discord among the assembly. I know I ain't screaming, but I'm a preaching right now. Amen. Amen. You got no business. You might as well mark it down. I don't care how saved you are, how much revelation you have, how renowned you are or think you are, or what your relationship with God looks like. It is the devil using you when you sit down and you run your mouth about somebody else. It is the devil that is using your life. God is not using your life in that moment of time. There have been a lot of people influenced because the devil was using somebody to run their jaws. Yep. Amen. Amen. Don't let the devil use you to sow discord where the assembly is concerned, but where ambition is concerned. Thou savorest not the things of God, thou savorest the things which be of men. You know what the devil wants to use us to do? To be divided against what God savors. Amen. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed. And I'm going to be careful here, but in 20-something years of pastoring, Brother Joe, how many homes are divided because there's parents or a parent that is trying to go with God and children are being used to the devil to sow division in that family, in that home where spiritual ambition is concerned. I know it's strong. You youngins, the devil can use you. Amen. Julie, if you ain't careful, the devil can use you. Miss Emma, I know you're young and you're precious and we love you, but don't you forget, there's a devil out there that wants to use your life. Devin, Dylan, don't let the devil use you. Amen. Boys, I know y'all are here. I'm glad you're here. I'm telling you tonight, the devil would love to use your life. You can think I'm crazy. You can think I've lost my mind. The devil would love to use your life to break your mom and daddy's heart. Amen. Amen. I know it's getting real personal. I got a daughter that is not living, savoring the things of God tonight. And I can't tell you how it's affected and how the devil has used that.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
But Jack used that in his daddy's heart. Because a little bit of division and a dissonant that is there, somebody stoved up and said, I don't want God. I don't want to live for God. I'm not interested in the Word of God and how the devil can use that in a parent's heart. Amen. We preach to us parents, don't you let the devil use you. Amen. Against your children. That thing works both ways. That thing works both ways. Amen. Don't let the devil use you to become divided and to be lacking in some sort of godly ambition and direction for your home and your life. Don't be one thing down at the house of God and another thing down at the house.
Amen.
Devil will use you in the for the destruction of the lives of your children if you ain't careful. Come on now. I'm going to tell you something. Don't let the devil use your life. You live your life seeking after God. You live your life with your eyes on what is godly and what is right. Stay close to the Lord and be aware the devil, Jeremy, the devil's just looking for an opportunity to use you. Are you an encouragement or a discouragement?
Amen.
Are you a distraction tonight? Are you one that can step back and just pray your way through people's faults and failures or things you don't like? Are you at unity with the work of God? Amen. Been a lot of people openly and privately, they said, Pastor, I love you, I love you, I love you, thank you. And I don't know where all that's coming from, but keep it coming. Hallelujah, I like all of it. Amen. I've been giving cards with money in it today. Amen. Just keep it rolling in. And I believe you're sincere about it. But you're crazy if you think they ain't a devil, wouldn't like to use you. Bring division into this church. Get you crossed up with somebody. Get you to say something. And maybe it's even the right something you said, but at the wrong time. In the wrong way, maybe the wrong person, you let something come out and you'll justify yourself. Say, I was right, I was right, I was right. Maybe you were, maybe you wasn't, but I'm just interested in who used you to say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The devil used some of y'all, somebody come tell you something and you won't take a rebuke or take correction or take a challenge and Devil will get in you and use you and get you all bent up out of shape. Who they think they are. All I'm trying to do is get us to evaluate where we are every step of the way, every day of our life and part of this church to count. Am I being used to the devil or is this God working in my life?
Amen.
Amen. This ain't the first failure Peter has, but it's the beginning of a series of great failures. Remember, we're only 6 months away from the Lord going to Calvary. And over the next 6 months, there's going to be times where Peter's going to get involved and engaged in saying, well, who's the greatest in the kingdom? I want to be the greatest. Pride begins to show. We understand the Lord is going to look at Peter and he says, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for thee, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter did much protest the Lord in that hour, saying, though all of these deny thee, I will never deny thee. There's that pride again, Peter. Just a part of a series of failures. The Lord tried to warn him, Brother Larry. He said, Peter, I already know. I've seen the end from the beginning. And when you hear the cock crow the third time, you will have denied me three times. He didn't just deny the Lord, Brother Jack. He went and warmed himself by the enemy's fire. And they come by and they say, oh, we know you. You're one of his people. You talk like and you look like one of his people. And he kept saying, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he had to change the entire way he talked and began to curse as though he wasn't one of God's children. And in the hour in which the Lord had been trying to prepare him for, in Mark chapter number 8, I've got to suffer many things. In the hour when they led Christ out to go suffer and Peter seeing the Son of God and their eyes fastened on each other, that had been a good time for Peter to say, oh, it finally makes sense now and run to the Lord. But he didn't. He turned and he ran out and he went away from the Lord and abandoned the Lord. That same man used to the devil with so many failures in his life. The Lord recovered him and brought him back. Set him up. That is the same man that preached on the day of Pentecost. And the power of God came down and greater than 3,000 souls were saved on that single day from a single message. Men's hearts were pricked by the Lord and converted to the Lord. God used a man, though he had been used of the devil just a few days before.
Amen.
And I tell you tonight, I tried to find a way to spin this and end it positive. This is the best I can do. You may have been used of the devil like all of us have at times. But I'm glad even when we're in those moments of weakness where the devil can make us one of his tools or one of his weapons of distraction and discouragement and dissonance. Brother Tim, there's still a God in heaven that is willing to put his hand on our life and say, I'm willing to still use you again.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let the devil use you. And if you have come to the Lord tonight, he can put his hand on you again.
Amen.
Amen. Simple thought, practical thought. That's all we have tonight.